in Christ Jesus and only in Him, we are liberated. He is the one that sets us free. So when the enemy comes to you, or you in thinking, because sometimes we contribute to the enemy, and you think about your back sins, former sins, and fears come to you, and you try to help yourself, and you can't. Remember, you're not a slave to any of that. You've been set free by the Son of God to live a life worthy of God's kingdom. Listen, this is a fact. It's a scriptural fact. You're no longer under the darkness of the kingdom of this world, but under the light of God's kingdom, the kingdom of God.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, July 9th, 2023. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Deliverance from Darkness. And our text comes to us from Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
Yeah, our text this morning is one we've mentioned before, but it bears repeating. It's found in the book of Colossians. Colossians was written by Paul while he was in prison. You talk about maybe you feel like your condition or your situation or the issues you're facing are difficult. But St. Paul is in prison. He's in jail, sentenced to death, and yet he writes. So nothing really will stop you from doing God's will in your life. There's really nothing that can prevent you from doing what God wants you to do, but you must want to do it. There's something about you wanting to do God's will that enables to do God's will. Sometimes we think that God's will just pops in front of us and all of a sudden everything gets resolved. No, you have to work at it. Not because you're working to get saved. No, it's because you're saved that you want to walk closer to the Lord, as the song said. And it says just a closer walk. You got to walk, right? Who does the walking? Jesus or you? You do the walking. You do the walking towards the Lord. And the Lord cannot walk what you don't walk. He does His thing. You do your thing. God does not insist or put upon you something that you don't want. God respects your will. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it's so important to understand that, because often we think that it's going to just come from up there. It's going to just fall on top of us. It doesn't happen that way. You must pursue. You must want to have a closer walk with Him. Isn't that wonderful? It really is. But it takes a lot of the strangeness of being a Christian. It's very straightforward. You come to Christ, and then, well, let's see what happens when you come to Christ. Colossians chapter 1, and we're looking at verse 13 and 14 of this text. So we'll read it. For He has rescued me. You can put the word me. He can rescue us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. And verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. There's another text that goes along with that, which is found in Mark chapter 4. And most of us know that, if not by heart, at least when I read it to you, you will see exactly what it means. Chapter 4 of the book of Mark. Mark was written in a way in which everybody could understand, and many believe this is the first gospel that was actually written. Mark chapter 4, and we look at verse 14, and it says, in a direct way, it says that the Lord comes to you and to me in such a way that He delivers the possibility of acquiring, of entering into His kingdom. And Jesus came preaching, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's at hand. And here in Colossians, we're being transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus. There is a kingdom you inhabit. You inhabit the kingdom of God. Yes, absolutely. They're there. You know, and it is an amazing realization that sometimes we forget that we operate not from the kingdom of this world or darkness, but from the kingdom of light. Now, we all always know, and it's still true, that it's an opportunity. It is an option for the individual to enter into the kingdom of God, to say yes to the Lord. You say, yes, Lord, come into my life. You're entering into the kingdom of God. The salvation gives you that position. It takes you from darkness and puts you into light. That's a work that God does for you and for me. However, we have to understand how to live in that kingdom, how to live in that kingdom of light. And even after we're saved, God does not take your free will. You and I have to say, yes, Lord, I want to live in the light. I want to live and exercise my faith in your kingdom, in your kingdom. But there is another kingdom that's in competition. And it's the kingdom of darkness that is still out there trying to push you to walk and to act as if you are again in the world. And even worse than that, sometimes us Christians, instead of allowing the Lord to rule our lives, we're trying to run our own lives. And we try to do what we think is right without understanding what God would want us to do in those situations. When you and I come to grips with the present situation that you and I are living, we find out that indeed there is a competing kingdom. And why things don't fall naturally like we would like them to be. Now, I've asked you to memorize Psalms 23rd. I was going to give you a test, but I'm not going to do that. Because like I said, tell the person next to you the 23rd Psalm, you know, and for you to just turn around and say, the Lord is my shepherd, and then stumble on the words, and there'll be chaos here. But I'm telling you, you got to get that word inside of your heart. Because when you have the word in your heart, you're able to compete against the kingdom of darkness. But even the 23rd Psalm, in the midst of being part of God's kingdom, honestly and sincerely, in the present system we have today, the situation we have today, we have competing kingdoms, kingdoms in conflict. Look, in the 23rd Psalm, of course, you will remember this. As I said, you memorized it. It says, though I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because we are in the kingdom of God, but we are attacked by the valley of the shadow of death. Now he says, I will fear no evil, because it's not evil. God is there. But you got to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Hello, everybody. You can't avoid it. But it's when you go through that, you know it's not evil because the Lord is with you. It's part of the living experience of being in this world and seeing fallen humanity to your right and to your left. This is the kingdom of darkness. It wants to cause you to be afraid. It pushes you away from what God wants you to do. But he says, I will fear no evil because the Lord is with you. What was meant for evil is meant for good. God will take care of you because the Lord is my what? I shall not. But not only that, in the same psalm says, thou prepare the table before me in the presence of my who? You still got him. You still got him. You still have them. I guess that's proper English. You still have them. Well, you got them. You have them there. Enemies are around us for sure. But we're safe in God's hands. Amen. Because in the presence of our enemies, he prepares a table. He sets us up for success. But you have to understand these kingdoms. You have to understand the darkness of the world. You have to understand the enemies you have. And you combat them through the tools of the kingdom of God in your hand. There is no such thing as living a life in this planet without facing opposition, without facing problems. But you do so from the perspective that I now belong and I am part of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is the one that gives me the victory. That's the position that you and I have. Well, a very famous lady of all times said something like, the Christian today is like a castle, and there's an interior castle of the human soul. Listen to what I'm saying. Has many rooms. You and I have many rooms, and they're slowly occupied by God, allowing us time and room to grow. So we're not a finished product, and yet we are. We face challenges in our Christian walk. But those challenges are not there to destroy us, but to learn how to live as children of the kingdom of God. There are tools that are given to you and to me to be able to live right, to be able to be conquerors. But in order for you to conquer, you must be fighting something. And those some things are the ones that you and I have to face every day. But what I'm trying to say this Sunday morning, in very, very clear word, is that you and I belong to the kingdom of light, to a kingdom of power. When Jesus comes into the scene, he comes proclaiming this. Repent, he says, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And the word repent means review your thinking. Think differently. That's what repentance means, to think differently, to turn around your thinking. And you and I need to turn around our thinking and understand that the choice is to live our lives under the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of this world. In Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, another scripture says that Jesus, when Jesus came into Galilee announcing the good news from God in the Living Bible, it says all the preliminaries have been taken care of. He said, and the rule of God is now accessible to everyone. Review your plans for living and base your life on this remarkable new opportunity. God's kingdom is the opportunity that you and I have when we enter into his understanding of how our lives need to be lived for the glory of God. The repent and come, you know, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand means change your mind about how you're going to handle life. Change your mind as to how you're going to resolve the issues. Change your mind as to how things are really done. The kingdom of God is available. Therefore, change your thinking as to how you are to live in this world. I think it's amazing to think that Christians have an option to live like the Lord wants you to live or not to live like the Lord wants you to live. The big church in the New Testament, it's called the Corinthian church, and they decided to take things on their own. And they did not necessarily follow through on living as the Lord would have you to live. You know, and so you look at 1 Corinthians, you see a disaster of people who are saved and yet being ruled by darkness. And in reality, the scripture says they were a carnal church. It's not that they were not saved, it's that they weren't living spiritual life. They were resolving their problems as carnal people, as ordinary people. They knew the Lord, but the applicability of his salvation, it was not seen in their lives. And we have a disaster of life. And you know, 1 Corinthians is horrific when you see the problems that they had. And yet today we have a lot of Christians who live in the Corinthian mode, in our carnal mode. They have the Lord, but they don't work towards living like God's people. And that's so important for you and for me. You know, you have an option to live for God and to live it in his kingdom, or you just continue to live in our carnal way. And Christians have this issue before them. And the world offers you a way of living, and yet you've been delivered from darkness. You've been delivered from the issues of the world to live right. And yet somehow, in some way, we don't take, you know, into consideration how we should really live for him. In Matthew chapter 4, 23 through 25, look at what the kingdom of God is able to do. And this is how Jesus does it. And in the Living Bible, gives us a picture of how effective Jesus was as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But the kingdom, he invites us to come in. Look, it says it this way. Jesus traveled all through Galilee, teaching in the Jewish synagogues, everywhere preaching the good news about the kingdom of the heavens. And, you know, in Matthew, you find the kingdom of the heavens. And in the other gospels, you find the kingdom of heaven. It's the same. Don't worry about it. And he healed every kind of sickness and disease. Think of it. He healed every kind of sickness and disease. The report of his miracles spread far beyond the borders of Galilee, so that sick folks were soon coming to be healed from as far away as Syria. And whatever their illness or pain, or if they were possessed by demons, or were insane or paralyzed, he healed them all. He healed them all. That's the power of the kingdom of God. He says, enormous crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee and the 10 cities, that was another word for Decapolis, and Jerusalem, and from all over Judea, and even from across the Jordan River. This is Matthew 4, 23 through 25 in the Living Bible. It tells you the impact and the power of living in the kingdom of God, in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the kingdom that he offers us an opportunity to live by. So this is the kingdom that we are called to. And so in the text that we mentioned to you in Colossians, the key idea is so important in that you're no longer subject to the kingdom of darkness, that you can and you should live in the kingdom of light, that there is a kingdom possibilities in your hand that is within your reach to live in a way which supersedes the kingdom of the darkness, where you resolve the issues of life with the wisdom of God, with the intelligence of God, and not the intelligence of man. God transferred us from the kingdom of darkness to his beloved Son. We're in another dimension. We're in another position. We're strategically placed as people of the kingdom of God in our jobs, in our home, in our whereabouts. Wherever you and I go, we embody, we have the kingdom of God with us. And as we look at the scriptures, we find the wonderful thing that the Lord in his graciousness has given us an ability to live beyond our even, we can even think about it. Four things I want to mention to you about this text. The first thing, we have alluded to it, we'll say it again. You have been transferred from darkness to light. Listen to what I'm saying. From darkness to light. Without God, without light, we stumble and we fall. And we try to find our way about darkness. But we're no longer living in darkness. We're in a kingdom of light. We need to access God's kingdom by understanding light. People in the world don't know how to resolve their issues and their problems. You do. I do. We do, because we go to the Lord and the Lord says, ask and you shall. And yet how much time do we spend in actually asking and accepting what he gives us? We ask and then we go and do our thing. But there's a process by which you and I walk in the light. And one of the wonderful attributes of walking in the light is that we have communion one with the other. And that there's a level of fellowship and understanding among us. That the kingdom of light gives us an ability to understand each other and to live together. Life is lived not in shadows or doubt, but with certainty. And we say, you know, I don't know how this problem is going to be resolved, but I am going to trust and believe that the Lord will do it. And you stick to that. And you seek the Lord in prayer. And you believe God is working in your life. And the Lord resolve it, because you know that you have the light. You're walking in light and not in darkness. Huge thing. Huge, huge. Second thing is that the Lord has transferred you from slavery to freedom. From slavery to freedom. See, another word for freedom is liberation. You have been liberated. You are no longer a slave to sin. There is nothing in your life that can prevent you from serving him. There is no sin greater than God's grace and redemption in your life. And there's this idea of freedom that often the Christian misses. Sometimes we fall into this horrific idea that in order for God to bless me, I have to do certain things. You don't. You really don't. God has already blessed you with all spiritual blessings. There's a level of freedom in your heart and spirit that you need to know that slavery does not rule over you. There is nothing that enslaves you unless you let it. You and I need to be ourselves as children who are free, for we know the truth, and the truth has set us free. Without God, we're slaves to our fears. So many Christians today are afraid. Afraid of this, afraid of that, afraid of the other. But those of us who live in God's kingdom and avail ourselves of what he gives us and what he offers us, we know that fear doesn't fit in. Again, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The fear that comes, no, fear no. There is no fear because you are in God's hands. You really are in God's hands. You really are in God's hands, and he takes care of you. He really does. But often we say those things in our minds, or we assent it by saying amen. But when the moment comes, the issue comes, there is no freedom. But we're slaves to our fears. And then the issue of sins. Did you know that all your sins have been forgiven? No, I'm not talking about the ones you've committed. I'm talking about the ones you're going to do tomorrow. Every sin has been taken care of. Your present, your past, your present, and your future. So, but some people are stuck. And somebody said the worst, let's see, how do I say this? The guilt is the worst type of activity for a Christian. Guilt is a waste of energy and time because guilt is no longer there. If God has forgiven you, he has forgiven you. And yet people keep reminding the Lord, because, you know, God is absent-minded, you know, about former sins, and they are ruled by their former sins. And, yeah, God would want to do it, but, you know, in 1922, well, nobody here from 1922, that's why I went to 1922. All right. 1975, now it just touches about most of us, or 1950 or 19-something. Your sins have been forgiven, and there is no hold on that. The devil has no hold on that. God doesn't care in the sense he's already dealt with that. And yet we carry the power of sins committed in the past, and we allow those sins to contribute to our ineffectiveness in the kingdom of God. You've been transferred from darkness to light. You have been moved from slavery to freedom, and yet often we're slaves to our fears, and we're slaves to our sins. And sometimes we're also slaves to our own helplessness because we try to do it ourselves. I don't necessarily am a fan of Frank Sinatra, but all of us have heard that song, Did It My Way, right? You're still trying to do it your way. It's not going to work. Because if doing it your way would work, Christ would tell you, do it yourself. But it doesn't work. But we're slave to our own helplessness because we try to get there. We try to resolve it, but we're helpless. And because we're helpless, we think this thing is never going to get resolved. Listen, you're not a slave. You're free. You've been set free by the Son of God. And in the kingdom of light, you're free. And you walk in that kingdom with a level of freedom that empowers you to do which God has called you to do. But you have to accept these things and say to yourself, I'm not walking in darkness, I'm walking in light. And you need to say to yourself, I'm not longer, a slave, but I've been set free. You know, the famous, I'm free, free, free at last. We're free with Jesus Christ. He sets you free. Walk as a person who's been freed from their sins, their fears, and your own ability to help yourself. Free to serve the Lord. In Christ Jesus and only in him, we are liberated. He is the one that sets us free. So when the enemy comes to you, or you in thinking, because sometimes we contribute to the enemy, and you think about your back sins, your former sins, and fears come to you, and you try to help yourself, and you can't remember. You're not a slave to any of that. You've been set free by the Son of God to live a life worthy of God's kingdom. Listen, this is a fact. It's a scriptural fact. You're no longer under the darkness of the kingdom of this world, but under the light of God's kingdom, the kingdom of God. And my next thing that I need to say is, I'm making already reference to it, is that you're free from condemnation of sins. You're being transferred from condemnation to forgiveness. And forgiveness is the greatest need in the world today. The greatest need. And you know, you and I, as human beings in their sin, we only deserve but the condemnation of God. But through Christ Jesus and his work on the cross, we discover God's love and forgiveness. There is no reason to have this weight of sins. We used to say, and we continue to say, that all of us have been delivered from the penalty of sin when Christ died on the cross. He took your sins and my sins. So death is the condemnation. Death is the result. What happened is that you and I no longer have to deal with that. But also, we have been set free from the power of sin. Sin does not really have a grip on you unless you let it be. Because some Christians have hobby sins. Hobby sins. Certain sins that they practice. And they think that God doesn't care or doesn't think, or we try to hide it from him. And it doesn't work. And we're captive by certain things that we do in our lives. And some people have the habit of lying. You mean you've never met a Christian that lies? Where you've been? You've never met a Christian that does things that are wrong? Yeah, yeah. But see, we do that because we are weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But wait a minute. We've been transferred from one kingdom to the other, and I want you to know that God forgives us, and we bring that sin before the Lord and ask him to give us the authority and ask us to give us the resolve not to go there. And I want you to know the Lord's Prayer says something like, deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There is much to that prayer, which is next Sunday, by the way. That's what you have to do is the Lord's Prayer next Sunday. Memorize, that is. It's an amazing fact when all of a sudden you know you're being forgiven of sins, and those sins that so easily beset us, we bring them before the Lord, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We have to bring them before the Lord. We have to ask the Lord to help us to have the deliverance that we need so that we can truly be and understand what it means to be forgiven in our heart. But I also want to say this much. Even when you don't feel forgiveness, you've been forgiven. Let me say that again. Even though you don't feel forgiven, God has forgiven you. Amen. In Christ Jesus, he's forgiven you. Because God is beyond you. It's he has forgiven you. Yeah. And I always want you to know that you and I are no longer condemned by God. No, we are God's kids. With issues that need to be resolved, but we're always going to the cross, always asking for him to make us better Christians that we may serve him. And bringing those issues in our lives so that we will have a repudiation for those sins. And we say, you know, I don't know why I keep doing this, you say to yourself. This is ridiculous. This is stupid. If I can use the word, I guess I just didn't. Why should I keep doing this? This offends the Lord. It injures me too. And all of a sudden, you develop a non-appetite to do those things that you thought you could do and kind of like get away from it. And the closer you walk with the Lord, the more that you distance yourself from those things that grieve his spirit, but grieve your spirit as well. Because the kingdom of God is so much greater than living in the kingdom of darkness. And all of a sudden you say, what am I doing here? Why did I just lie? Why did I just do this? I have a better offer of life. How about telling the truth? Speaking the truth in love, of course, you know. You have to be, you know, somewhat special. You don't go up to somebody and say, I don't like your face. You don't say that, you know. But there are ways in which you can live the life in such a way that you begin to detest what God detests. All of a sudden, you don't want to do this because it offends you, but it offends God. And you lose your appetite. You acquire a new palate. You don't want to do things that offends God. You don't want to do things that offends yourself. You no longer lie now. You tell the truth. You speak the truth with love. You don't cheat anymore. You don't, you know, I don't want to go through the Decalogue things that you guys are doing that you should not be doing because that would be awful. And I have no idea what you guys are doing. I've got enough problems with myself. But what about anger? What about envy? What about all those things that causes us to stumble and it corrupts our spirit, and yet you and I have been forgiven, and yet we live in ways in which we shouldn't live. So just so you'll know, God is working on in you and in all of us. And remember, you're being forgiven, and you're not condemned, but you have to live in a way in which honors the Lord. and stop doing the things that are contrary to God's will in your life and to other people as well. Well, there's one more. And we transfer from darkness to light, from slavery to freedom, from condemnation to forgiveness. And this one, of course, it's very obvious, from the power of Satan, transfer from the power of Satan to the power of God. Satan does not have a grip on you. Let me just say that again. Satan does not have a grip on you. The only grip he may have on you is the one you give him. But you have no way of telling me that Satan maybe do it unless you wanted him to do it. We're liberated from the grip of Satan. Yes, yes, yes. And you and I are citizens of the kingdom of God, no longer citizens of the kingdom of darkness. There's a liberation. There is this freedom. There's this buoyancy. There is this new life. There's this new hope, this new venture. There's a different way of living life. Because the kingdom of God is made available to you and to me. And even more, you and I already have been transferred into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus Christ. And when you realize that Satan cannot make you do it, when you realize that your sins have been forgiven, when you realize that you're no longer a prisoner, no longer a slave, when you and I are no longer walking in darkness but in light, when you encounter all those realities, your life changes and you live differently, completely different. You know, just as an early conqueror transferred the citizens to the land he had conquered, that was the whole idea. If you won the city in a war in the old times, you won that war, then everybody of those citizens of that city that you won, they became automatically citizens of the country that conquered them. The same thing, you and I come to Christ, we've been set free by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and been transferred into the kingdom of his dear son. We're in a different position. We're in a different place, in a different environment, and we need to live our lives in such a way. So as we conclude this Sunday morning, I need for you to remember the same thing. The greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, because I am in the kingdom of his dear son. That no weapon that is formed against me can prosper, because I am in the kingdom of his dear son. It's an amazing advantage for you and I to live in God's kingdom, in that reality, in the reality of God's kingdom. Sometimes I think we as Christians forget, and sometimes I forget, that being a Christian means being in the kingdom of God. That is to say, sometimes I think people think being a Christian is like floating people around. Well, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, but there's a belonging. There's a place where you are drawn. And that's the kingdom of God. That's the position from which we operate. We're saved and transferred into his kingdom, and we operate kingdom values in our lives. And that's how we face the world today. So you and I could take advantage of what it means to be in the kingdom of God as we resolve all the issues of life. But even more than resolving issues of life, how we become operatives in the kingdom, how we move forward, how we further the agenda of God in our lives, how we witness to others in our life, at work. Being in the kingdom of God is not a religious expression. It's a reality that Christians live. It's where you are working, where you work. That's where God's kingdom rules. That is to say, you take Jesus in your heart, in your life, you're transferred into his kingdom, and wherever you are, the Lord is there. And wherever you do your work, where you spend most of your time, you must let your light shine. Amen. You must be a Christian there. You must operate good kingdom values there. So it's there that you don't lie. It's there that you don't cheat. And everywhere else you may be. Well, the advantage to live in the kingdom of God brings intelligence to all of us. It brings the strength of God in our lives. It helps us resolve the issues with God's help. It's a lifestyle. It's something that you acquire from being with the Lord. It's something you do in your life. In the weeks to come and possibly towards the end of the year, we're going to be uncovering some of the ways in which we can access God's kingdom into our lives. But the primary one is simply you and me trusting Jesus in our lives and doing everything he did while he was on this earth. And if you read the Gospels, you see all the things that Jesus did. He prayed. He fasted. He went into solitude. He healed the sick. He preached to the poor. He had words of hope. There's a whole pattern, a whole lifestyle that Jesus deployed, that we are to deploy because we are in his kingdom. And there's a conduct, there are behaviors in our lives that can only be achieved by his grace. You acquire new strategies for living because you get closer to him and you spend time with him. That's why Paul says, be not conformed to this world. But we are to have our minds renewed. Again, we have to think differently. We have to process things differently. And we can only do this through the enablement of God's grace, because we're now in God's kingdom and not in the kingdom of darkness and in the world. There's a way for us to live that is different from the rest of the world. So another of the old songs, this world is not my home. I want you to know this world is not your final home. We're here for a very short time. And then we go into the presence of the Lord. And then what do? We continue to live with him. And we take all of our experiences into eternity. And we live with the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, serving him and worshiping him. And we'll talk more about this. Scripture tells us we're going to reign with him forever and ever and ever. You're going to reign in God's kingdom. We're part of God's kingdom. And the church, according to Ephesians, has been rescued or has been placed in a position where the manifold wisdom of God will be displayed for the ages to come. We're going to travel throughout all of God's vast creation, showing everybody in creation God's grace and God's love. Tell you, there's a big assignment coming, huge assignments as citizens of the kingdom of God. Look, this, what we're going through right now is just boot camp. That's all. Some of us going through harder than others, but this is just a moment in time where God is preparing us to serve him forever and ever and ever and ever. This is just the beginning of your life. It's not the end of it by no means. You're just beginning. You come to Christ, you're transferred to his kingdom, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. We're going to be there. So let's learn how to live in that kingdom. Understand how much God has done for you and what he will do for you and what you will do in his kingdom are just beyond our understanding. He says that thought has not come up, has not even come to the imagination of man, what God has prepared for the children. I mean, there's much stuff going on, a lot more going for you than against you. So all I'm saying this wonderful Sunday morning is that you've been transferred from darkness to light, and that you have an opportunity to live in the kingdom of God in ways in which maybe you've never understood. But we will with God's help. Because the majority of our problem in the church today is not that we don't want to, we just don't know how. And we're going to try to find ways in which this is how you do this for the glory of God. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So Lord, we thank you because you have been the one to call us and you have been the one to set us in a place where we can be meaningful members of your kingdom. I pray, Lord Jesus, this morning that you will work in our hearts, that you will work in ways in which we have never even dreamed possible. But Lord, we want to submit ourselves to you. And we want you to know, Lord, that we want to work in your kingdom, that we want to be effective leaders in your kingdom, that we want to live for your glory. Lord, open our eyes of our understanding that we may see what you have done for us, Lord. Open our eyes that we may see that you've done things for us that we can't even imagine. But open our eyes anyway, Lord. Even when we can't imagine, open our imagination and help us to see what plans you have for each one of us, Lord. and all the issues that we face today, Lord, we fear not, for you are with us. You will never leave us nor forsake us. You said, all power is given to me. All power is given to me. So, Lord, it's your power that thrusts your kingdom in our lives. So work in our hearts, work in our lives. We submit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. 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 Will you stand with me?
May I stand, O Lord, in this holy place. May I worship Thee and behold Thy face. May I be transformed by Thy word and Thy spirit and behold the day of Thy power.
Amen. Okay, this is the day. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the service with the worship time included, please visit our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.